Hi, Darren Reppenhagen. Welcome again to KABU here in Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Bill. Thanks for having me on.
Darren Reppenhagen grew up in a military family. His father, a Vietnam veteran, both grandfathers serving in World War II. He was a cavalry scout sniper in the Army's 1st Infantry Division. Darren completed a deployment in Kosovo on a 9-month peacekeeping mission in the early 2000 period. And he also was on a combat tour in Baklava, Iraq. He got disillusioned with the war, gained an honorable discharge in 2005, and immediately began working as a veterans advocate and a dedicated activist. Among other organizations, he served as chairman of the Board of Iraqi Veterans Against the War. He worked in Washington, D.C. as a lobbyist for the Nobel Prize-winning Veterans for America. And he was program director for Veterans Green Jobs. He's now the executive director of Veterans for Peace. Garrett, the Veterans for Peace recently issued a position paper titled Veterans Condemn Deployment of Troops. Read us some of the important excerpts.
Sure, I'll briefly read some of it here. Veterans for Peace condemns the inflammatory statements of Donald Trump. His declaration of calling for military troops on U.S. soil to quell people exercising their First Amendment right is inflammatory and incredibly dangerous. We stand unequivocally with the protesters who are in the streets calling for an end to senseless police killings and white supremacy. In addition to the 200,000 troops already deployed across the world, U.S. cities are being occupied by military force. Thousands of heavily armed soldiers, military personnel, and police have been deployed to the cities across the nation as Trump calls on the military to dominate the streets and that he'd override any local control if governors refuse to deploy the National Guard. Threats and intimidation are tactics of terror by this administration. Trump's statements, as well as past statements, are incendiary and effectively declare war on our communities. Veterans for Peace calls on all active duty military leaders and personnel to refuse deployment. We as veterans know the terrible aftermath of participating in actions that are morally wrong against communities in other countries. Now is the time to refuse to participate in orders that are unjust.
Yeah, that's a strong statement. Garrett, why did VFP, Veterans for Peace, put out that statement? What were your concerns?
Well, I think, first of all, we don't want to see our U.S. military being used against peaceful protesters that are demanding to stop the violence in their communities by police officers, demanding to see equality and to challenge white supremacy. So we don't want to see an end to these just actions. We think that really there's no peace without justice, and we need a more equal and just society to really achieve that peaceful end. And deploying military troops into our communities to suppress it is definitely the opposite of peace that we try to achieve for Veterans for Peace. And we know that deploying troops, we're going to see more innocent people killed, more protesters have every right to exercise their constitutional rights being killed. And we've already seen it in Kentucky. A man was killed by a guardsman, and we're going to see that continue. And it's violence that I don't think we've seen in our streets by the military since Kent State. So, you know, we know how we operate in a military combat zone, and we know that our National Guardsmen and our federal troops, if deployed, will act in similar fashion to put down any threat towards them with mass amounts of violence. And it's going to be morally damaging to the people, to the soldiers who are deploying, as we see it in all other countries that we occupy. It's leading to situations where you're going to kill bystanders, you're going to kill innocent women and children, and you're going to be killing people who basically will put you on the wrong side of a civil rights movement in this country. I don't think that most service members signed up for that. The atrocities that we do overseas, certainly awful, and it'll be no different here in our own country as we're killing our own citizens.
One of the things that I think motivates a lot of us, including Generals Mattis and Mullen, will be old, gray, retired, very popular, though, men from the Joint Chiefs and General Mattis himself. My sense is that this could be the dress rehearsal, that is, sending troops into the cities. Many cities, they were on active duty, or at least deployed there, as a dress rehearsal for what might happen in the election. That is, if Trump sees himself losing, if he sees that the voter suppression by the Republicans doesn't work, that he appears to be a loser, he has signaled in so many ways that he doesn't want to step down. I have the sense right now that some of his people and his signals, his dog whistles about people being in the streets that he loses, he's going to try and declare martial law or something like that and ask the military to enforce it and go into the cities and make sure that the demonstrators stay in their homes or get shot in the street. It's not just alarmist. Even the Washington Post and New York Times have editorialized people arguing this is something we have to be ready for. What's your sense?
Well, I think that, you know, anything is possible. I don't think that President Trump is removing any options from the table, as they say. I'm sure he was trying to see whether the military would fall in under his command and do something like this, as just seeing where the sense of control he has over the military itself. You know, I don't know what these retired generals in this senior level leadership is thinking when they actually finally challenged the president on these issues. It's good that they're coming out against him on these things, but I want to put a few warnings out there. One, it gives a false sense of integrity of the U.S. military command when in a lot of senses it still is self-serving. There are worries, I think, within senior level leadership that the faith and the belief and support of the U.S. military will fracture if stressed, a lot like it had done towards the end of the Vietnam War, where there was less and less public support for the U.S. military. And I don't think they want to see that happen. You know, I think that general people will feel that because these senior level military people might be challenging Trump or at least have some amount of dissension from him, that they just follow their morals and ethics on the battlefield, which we know is not always the case. We've seen it in Afghanistan. We've seen it in Iraq. We've seen it all over the world for a long history. Just want to remind people that, you know, the atrocities that happened in Abu Ghraib, there's still only an E5 as the highest level soldier that was convicted for any sort of atrocities associated to Abu Ghraib. It's not an ethical, moral institution to begin with, so don't feel like they're going to always do the right things and follow their conscience when ordered to do something. Be prepared for that. If it's possible and it's serving for the military, I think that they'll occupy American streets if the opportunity arises.
You know, I agree with you completely. It's not for any sort of moral reason or even civil libertarian reason. They're just afraid that enough people will turn against them such that it becomes a lot easier if they do move in that direction in any way. The retired generals, they were afraid that if they moved into the cities this time around, they would lose a lot of support. Instead, in fact, they gained support. It was very good for the institution of the army. It may not be good for the people if, in fact, things get chaotic. Well, there's so many crises now facing America, climate change as well as inequality. All of them could turn into severe crises, especially climate change, if food supplies begin disappearing. Garrett, in the position paper, veterans condemn deployment of troops. EFT also points out, we as veterans know the terrible aftermath of participating in actions that are morally wrong against communities in other countries. Tell us about the terrible aftermaths. It seems to me there's so many dimensions of it. Give us a sense of what you see as the aftermath of completely unjust wars and killing.
Yeah. When explaining the two major aspects of who really suffers in war, there's the people of the countries that are typically occupied by unilateral, overwhelming military force on the U.S. side. And then there's the veterans who are serving there. And I just want to say that there's no equality there. The service members, their home countries are not being occupied. They're not being suppressed and terrorized by an armed force. Their loved ones aren't in harm's way being killed. Their way of life are rarely being upset to such a degree that their whole world is being turned upside down. The people on the brutalizing end of these occupations are certainly the people who are being occupied. In this new scenario, those people are going to be American citizens. And I also don't want to put any sort of additional value on American lives than anybody else's lives. So that being said, there's also the veteran side of the things. You know, the military who's actually going out there and doing this. Many of us who serve in the military are doing it for economic reasons, are in a situation where they're looking for opportunities to advance, to increase their social economic situation, and they're in a rough spot, and the military is a way to move forward out of whatever situation they're in. That's not everybody. Obviously, there's a great degree of just patriots, people who have military service in their traditional family systems and other things that drive people to military service. But when you take the battlefield and, you know, you're taking other lives, whether they're American or anybody else's, there's a weight upon you that you're not trained for. They train you in the military how to kill, and they do it very good nowadays. I was very excellent at my job as a sniper in Iraq. But they don't teach you what happens to you psychologically and emotionally and morally after you take someone's life. And the ambiguity of the conflict that you're in, the causes of why you're there, also impact how that weighs upon your soul. And, you know, I struggle with moral injury every single day. The amount of shame that I feel for participating as a perpetrator of violence of people in Iraq is intense. Some days it's so debilitating that I can't get out of bed, that I punish myself for being happy because I feel like I should punish myself because my society treats me like a hero. You know, I've sabotaged great relationships with lovers, family members, friends, sabotaged job opportunities just because I felt the need to punish myself and go in a very dark place. And you can imagine the amount of moral injury that a soldier is going to feel once he draws down a weapon on a person from his own community and kills them, when they're only trying to advocate to end police violence in their communities, to highlight how there's still not equality in this country, that the economic divide is vast, that people aren't addressing the colonization and white supremacy and the racism in this country. That's something that is, I think, going to be a massive burden and a massive toll on service members if they take the streets of America. Right now, we lose about 22 veterans a day to suicide. You know, those numbers are going to be, 22 a day is going to be very small compared to the regret and the remorse that people are going to feel if they actually take the streets of America.
This is Bill Resnick talking to Garrett Reppenhagen. Comes from a long-term military family, served as a sniper in Iraq, gained himself an honorable discharge and came home to work as an anti-war activist. He's now national director of the organization Veterans for Peace. We've been discussing a Veterans for Peace position paper, Veterans Condemn Deployment of Troops, asking troops to refuse to obey Trump's morally unjust and illegal order. We discussed how this could be a dress rehearsal for Trump and his supporters to not step down if it appears he'll lose, maybe to declare martial law, go into the cities, and the protesters will be discussed as terrorists and treasonous, and the military will be on orders to dominate the streets, whatever that means. It means shooting a lot of people. Garrett, let's talk about what can be done to avert that kind of crisis where the U.S. military is ordered into the streets of this country. What can be done right now?
Well, I think on the highest level, putting pressure on governors in local areas is really important. Donald Trump threatened governors that if they didn't mobilize their National Guard, that he would send in federal troops. Some of that has been walked back a little bit, I think, but the threat still remains, and I think governors need the political backbone by their communities, telling them that this is not something that they want, to make it very clear that their future elections might count on this decision that they make. Force Trump's hand. If he feels necessary to send federal troops, then at least it's not the governor and the local state National Guard that's in the city streets. Let's try to burn the federal system and really call Trump's bluff. So I think putting pressure on governors is obviously important. Continuing to put pressure on all your elected officials, I think, is really important. But also on the local level, on the smallest level, if you know somebody who's in the military or you know somebody who's in the National Guard, reach out, talk to them, have these conversations with them. It's good and well for these high-ranking military officials to say what they want to say, but ultimately it's the lowest level person that's going to be on the ground having to make the decision to pull the trigger or not. And I'd rather them not be in a situation where they're afraid for their lives or they're afraid of their military command giving the orders and just not even be present on the streets. So let's talk to them. There's resources. There's GI Rights Hotline, the Military Law Task Force, Courage to Resist, About Face Veterans Against War, and Veterans for Peace, all standing by to receive calls and emails to help you find the resources that you need if you're in the service and you want to get out and you want to refuse orders.
What about what civilians can do now beyond talking to people in the military or in the police in the United States who will be asked to join the military, and in fact, connections between the police and the FBI and the military and Homeland Security and even private policing forces is increasing. It's a huge number of people now, all with guns. On the other side, it seems to me most people are not interested in having martial law declared and the Constitution put in the closet for a while, they say, before they call elections, which are never called or are so rigged that create a one-party state. But civilians, it seems to me, we have to present a threat of a general strike or of some way of people just refusing to go along with a military occupation. It seems to me that that creates some degree of reticence to do it amongst the military and the political elite that might back Trump. What's your sense?
General strike is always great. I don't know if we have the critical mass in labor organizing at this point to be able to pull off something that'll be effective, but we should keep working towards that. I think withholding our labor is an amazing tool for change. But you also see these protests, you know, are becoming very effective. You see policies in local communities are changing, talking about reduced military spending and police spending. I know in Denver, Colorado, which is the closest large city to me where I'm at, the police budget is about a third of the tax dollars spent in the city. We can have some influence there. I think if we stay in the streets, we keep supporting Black Lives, reach out to the local organizations like Movement for Black Lives and other local coalitions to see how you can show up and how you can be effective and work with folks to keep out in the streets, I think is really powerful. I'd like to see more military veterans out there. I think having the military veteran community oppose these deployments and mobilizations, I think, is really critical right now. You know, we keep pushing veterans for Black Lives and Stand Down for Black Lives as a way to kind of show our support for people of color in this time and also show that we don't want military forces in our streets. And we want to demilitarize our police forces. Let's keep out there and keep active. And I think it's starting to really make a difference. I'm curious, not on the highest level of elections this year, where we're talking about the presidential elections, because I don't have a lot of faith in Joe Biden as president either. But I think on local congressional elections and state elections that we're going to see a massive shift because of the popular culture is moving away from the status quo, away from the colonized forms that we're used to seeing, away from what white supremacy. And I think we're going to have a lot more progressive leaders take positions of power on a local level. And I think that has a way of really changing a lot of things.
Jared, I remember when a big veterans contingent went to Standing Rock in that struggle around the Keystone Pipeline. The veterans there, it was a tremendous boost for the movement. Jared Reppenhagen, keep up the good work.
If you and your listeners are out there supporting us, there's no way we're going to leave the streets. So thank you for your support.
Thank you for your work. So long.
They call us all extremists because we're out here in the street. How unpatriotic. Veterans for peace. They say we gotta watch them like never before, 'cause there's nothing more dangerous than veterans against war. They stand on every corner with hammers in their hand, taking film and snapping pictures of everything they can. Upload photos, write reports on everything they saw, protecting all our citizens